Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 68.
And if this is your first time joining us, and it may possibly be the last time you have all 10 fingers, welcome.
Welcome. Oh, you know, 4th of July.
Because tomorrow's the 4th of July.
That's funny. Took me a minute.
So hopefully everybody's holiday celebrations tomorrow are fun and safe, and you return with all 10 fingers.
All the phalanges.
Hopefully none of our listeners or Twitch followers lose any fingers, because, you know, then you can't talk to us or leave comments anywhere.
I mean, but if you do, pics, please.
Yeah. Because, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, we couldn't be living up to our name if we didn't want to see all that stuff, basically.
I feel like I said that last 4th of July, too.
Yeah, you probably did, but oh well.
It remains the same. If you blow your fingers off, let me see.
Well, first of all, you know, we're sorry that you had your accident, but we also want to see the pictures.
I mean, they come with a warning for a reason. So if you can't heed the warning, stupid game, stupid prizes, right? Just like you say.
Yep. Don't fuck around and find out with explosives like that. But anyhow.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a couple different anniversaries this week. You know, beginning of this month was your best friend and her husband's. And then ours is the following day of 9 years.
Yeah.
Getting that out there before she tries to quiz me.
You had to look it up, didn't you?
No, I did not. It's easy. Because next year will be 10.
Truth.
And then on the 5th is our good friend Noodle and her husband's anniversary. So now we got to find somebody between, you know, to fill in the July 3rd and the July 4th.
No, we don't.
Yes,
we can keep that gap. Like, the three were great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't let anybody else into that circle?
Nope. We're good. So, circle's closed. It's a triangle, by the way.
It's a triangle. It's a couple. I don't know. What would we call it? But anyway, it's a triangle. So that's it.
It's a triangle. Not a love triangle.
It's a couple's triangle. Almost sounds just as bad.
Nope. Not that either.
It sounds just as bad. So this week is a Sarah episode.
Yay, me! If you don't want to hear me speak, fuck you too, and tune in next week.
But I also do have my on this day, as usual.
Yeah.
So what do you have this week for us, Sarah?
Stuff.
Stuff, just stuff. Just random stuff off the internet.
Yep.
That's it. No teasers, no nothing. Nothing like that. Let me guess, it's true crime.
Yep, there's your teaser. Let's on this day for today of the week from years past.
So for July 3rd, 2024, Tom Cruise was born in Syracuse, New York in 1962 and is 62 today.
Oh.
Cruise is most known for his roles in Risky Business, Top Gun, Days of Thunder, Rain Man, Jerry Maguire, the Mission Impossible movies, and being a member of Scientology.
Also, the weird fucking jumping he did on Oprah's couch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part, too. The movie Back to the Future, directed by Robert Zemeckis and starring Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, released to theaters in 1985, it made $388 million in the box office. Chuck Nagrano of Three Dog Night is arrested for possession of cocaine in his Louisville hotel room on the opening night of the group's tour in 1975. The charges were dropped in October when a Kentucky court determined the warrant used for the bust was granted on the basis of unfounded information. Nagrano's drug addiction, which chronicled in his book Three Dog Nightmare, would eventually lead him to being kicked out of the band for good.
Huh. Funny story about Three Dog Night.
What's that?
So I used to play a game, and in this game, there was somebody who had the name of Three Dog.
Mm-hmm.
My dumbass was thinking it was like the human centipede. So I asked him if they were a fan of that, because, you know, there's a part in it where he's like, my beloved Three Dog. It was Three Dog Night. They was like their favorite band. They're like, you watched that shit? Sure did. Loved it.
My first thought was Fallout 4. Not Fallout 4, Fallout 3, because of the run of the radio DJs goes by the same name also. In 1775, George Washington takes command of the Continental Army at Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we all know what happened a year later.
What's that?
Well, a year and a day later.
What's that?
The signing of the Declaration of Independence.
What's that?
Seriously, she's... Anyhow, we're moving on. And to think I was nice and put some Michigan stuff in for the sports one.
Okay, go ahead.
In 2006, Detroit Red Wings legend Steve Yzerman officially retires from the NHL, finishing with 692 goals and 1,755 points. The first color television was demonstrated in London in 1928 by John Logie Baird, and the first market color televisions wouldn't happen until 1954 and would cost about $1,000 in 1954, equaling about $7,800 today.
Damn.
American singer and songwriter Jim Morrison dies of a heart failure allegedly caused by accidental heroin overdose in Paris, France. Alleged drug overdose. Come on, we all fucking know better.
So, yay, on this day.
Yep.
Is done.
So, you're ready to get started then?
Yeah. Right. You?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Seth Jackson was born on February 3rd, 1996, in Bellevue, Florida, to Scott and Sonia Jackson. He had two older brothers. I didn't get much background on them. I don't know if they were close in age, being older, you know, if they got along. I didn't get any of that. But he himself went to Bellevue High School, and he had aspirations of being a UFC fighter when he grew up. So when he was 15, he started dating a girl named Amber Wright, who was also 15. And they had only dated for 3 months, but, you know, relationships are super serious at the age of 15.
Yep.
So Seth had a feeling that Amber was cheating on him with an 18-year-old by the name of Michael Bargo, and they wound up breaking up in March of 2011. Due to jealousy and some form of drug use, didn't say what it was, could have been simple as weed, you know, the air around them became super toxic, and then Amber was like, I'm done with you. And she went, to Michael Bargo, and they started dating pretty much immediately.
If they were 15, it probably was weed was the problem.
Yeah. As any teenager these days would, the exes took their drama to
Facebook.
Social media. Close. Would there have been? Yeah, there would have been Facebook. Facebook back then.
Again?
I don't have a year. 2011. Sorry.
Yeah, Facebook's been around since way before that.
Yeah. No, if they said MySpace, you'd be like, whoa.
Right.
This is a long time ago.
Yeah, if it had been MySpace, it probably would have taken like forever for their page to load because of how many GIFs everybody had on their page. All
the glitter backgrounds and fucking music.
Yep.
Anyways, so they're off relationship now. They wound up doing a lot of back and forth in comments and posts about each other on these social media platforms that they were using, and, you know, accusing each other of doing stupid shit, you know, just creating lies, spreading rumors about the other person, you know, teenage shit.
Right. Now the meme of DJ Khaled just reading something on an iPad with the title of me reading the 300 comments between two strangers arguing.
Yeah.
That's what comes to mind.
Popcorn for sure. Anyways, Michael immediately took up for his new girlfriend, Amber. And because of some things that she said to him, he instantly had like a deep-seated hate for Seth. Amber had told Michael that Seth had abused her, so that's where his hate came from. However, this was a lie that Amber came up with to make Michael dislike him. Because I think at one point, Michael and Seth were on, like, decent terms.
They were bros.
Not friends, not bros, but
they were
socially fine around each other. Yeah. In April, Michael went over to Seth's house to confront him, And while he was there, Seth's mom had heard Michael tell her son that he had a bullet with his name on it, which isn't too far off because Michael already had a record and he was only 18 years old.
Yeah.
He listened to rap, watched gangster movies, so he was fully living his white boy lifestyle. His,
right.
He reminds me, like, thinking about him, I could see him dressed in, like, the dude.
From Trailer Park Boys?
From Trailer Park Boys.
You know what I'm saying?
What was his name?
I don't remember now.
I feel like it was Jay something.
I want to say it wasn't J-Dog, but I think that's fucking wrong. I don't remember. I just remember he always said, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. But anyways, that's kind of how I envisioned him. Like, so we're still in April of 2011 here. Michael and his 16-year-old friend, Kyle Hooper, challenged Seth and one of his friends to a duel.
Is that going to be a rap battle with our off-brand J-Rock?
J-Rock! That's what it was. Yes. So this was supposed to take place at a mutual contact's house. This would be at a trailer of a girl named Charlie Eli. She knew both Seth and Michael and was friendly towards both of them.
Wait, did you just say trailer? Because this is now totally going to be a J-Rock from Wish.com.
Trailer.
Even though Bubbles could spit better bars than J-Rock ever could.
Yeah. Michael, being the little thug wannabe that he was, kept a .22 caliber gun at Charlie's. Michael claims that it was there just to scare Seth and his friend off when they actually did show up. Come on now. On April 17th, 2011, Michael told his friend Kyle to come over and let him know that he intended to kill Seth. Michael got Kyle involved by lying. He said that Seth had threatened to burn Kyle's house down. And Kyle was just like, okay, I'll help.
What?
Yeah, like, damn, were we that stupid when we were that age?
Probably, but we're going to say, I wasn't that fucking dumb. Yeah, I'm sure we were, but not to go full commit arson.
I heard that so-and-so said they're going to hurt or burn your house down. Want to help me kill him? Yeah. How does that fucking correlate?
Yeah, like,
teenage boy brain is like toddler fucking boy brain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Kyle wouldn't be the only one that's involved. Imagine that. 15-year-old Amber, the ex-girlfriend of Seth, 18-year-old Charlie, and 20-year-old Justin Soto would hop on board with Michael's death plan. Michael had asked Amber to bring Seth to Charlie's house that evening. And from there, they had planned that, well, they, Michael had planned that they were going to just bombard his ass and beat him when he got there. All of them, like, all of them were together. They were staying at Charlie's house for planning. And Amber used to stay with Charlie a lot because I guess they were really good, like, girlfriends. So she was there often. After Michael told everyone what the plan would be, no one was really like, hey, like, I don't want any part in this. So they just went along with it all.
Well, yeah, probably because, like you said, teenage brain stupid. It's like, I want these people to like me, so I better go along with committing a murder.
Yeah.
They might not talk to me. I might get shamed at school.
So the plan included Amber writing a text to Seth saying that she wanted him to come over to Charlie's house so that they could talk and work things out because shit wasn't working with Michael. She also had asked Seth to keep their meeting a secret because she didn't want Michael to find out. So she's really, like, trying to reel him in to get him over to Charlie's house.
So they're playing the whole extreme game of, oh, I'm going to act like I like this guy just to get him over to beat his ass kind of thing.
Yep, that is what it was. Seth immediately wrote back, Amber, if you have me jumped, I will never give you the time of day. Amber responded with, I can never do that to you. I just want me and you back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too late. Oh, a friend of Seth's was over and tried to warn him that he's probably falling into a trap, but it was already too late and Seth was already walking away right into that trap. When Seth and his friend showed up at Charlie's, they were met by Amber, who motioned for them to come inside. And as soon as they did, Seth knew something wasn't right, and he was 100% correct about that. Kyle Hooper jumped at him, smacking him in the head with a piece of wood. The girls, Amber and Charlie, ran into the bedroom to hide. And Michael started shooting with the .22 caliber he left at Charlie's. Charlie's.
I thought that was just to scare him.
It was just to scare him.
Mm-hmm.
While he did get a shot off on Seth, he failed his mission because he only wounded him and didn't kill him. Seth was hurt, no doubt, but he had enough sense and strength to get up and run out of the house.
Oh, that's good.
He didn't make it far.
Unfortunately.
Because Charlie chased after him. 20-year-old Justin Soto ran up behind Seth and tackled him in the yard and started just mollywopping the shit out of him. While Seth was being beaten by Justin, Michael had walked over and shot him again. At this time, the two guys picked Seth up, carried him up the stairs into the bathroom, and dropped him in the bathtub. Michael continued to scream at Seth, he continued to hit him, and he continued to shoot him. Michael did what he set out to do, and he killed Seth by ultimately shooting him in the face. Like, if you know that's what you're going to do, why do all the extra shooting and fucking torture?
Don't know. I've never wanted to do that to anybody before in my life.
Michael and Justin then grabbed Seth's lifeless body and wrapped it up in a sleeping bag before taking him back outside and throwing him into a lit fire pit. After that, Michael went back in the house and he and Amber went to bed. Like easy peasy lemon squeezy. No care in the world.
So I'm guessing there's this trailer that this was at is not in a trailer park.
I'm assuming not because I didn't.
Right. Because this is gunshots like that. You know,
you're going to wake your neighbors.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the smell of a burning body and sleeping bag.
Yeah. Justin, the 20-year-old, stayed awake, making sure that all the evidence, you know, the sleeping bag and Seth's body in that sleeping bag stayed up in flames. This was his task, and he made sure it all burned. He apparently sat out there watching Seth burn until the sun came up. Seth had no chance of escaping this because of his love, I say that loosely, being a 15-year-old.
Right.
Because of his love for Amber and Amber's bitch ass texting him, hey, come over so we can work things out. Not the only, this whole thing could have been easily fucking avoided because there was an adult who knew.
So, there's an adult knew the whole plan the whole fucking time?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, Amber's mom's ex, James Havens, who's 37 years old at the time, he knew what the group had planned to do before they did it. And he could have stopped them, but he didn't.
Well, it's just boys being boys, right?
In fact,
or some stupid shit like that.
He helped facilitate the last of it.
Wow.
On April 18th, James showed up with cables and cinder blocks in the back of his truck. He used bleach to get rid of any blood evidence from around the house, the yard, and the fire pit. He helped shovel out 3 paint buckets full of ash from the fire pit and then loaded that into the back of his truck. And then Michael asked James, hey, can you take me and Justin down to this desolate rock quarry so that we can, throw away the evidence? And he did. Then the 3 of them took a bucket each, dumped it into the murky water, and then left. Fortunately for these big, tough boys, one of them was actually a pussy. Kyle sat at home with his mommy and watched the local news when a report of Seth's disappearance had come up, and he caved immediately. He turned to his mom, told her everything that happened. His mom called the police, and then everything for this group went south. So, if you get on TikTok or YouTube, sometimes I've even seen it on Facebook, there's videos of these assholes sitting in an interrogation room at the police station, and they're all talking to each other, not realizing that they're being fucking recorded.
Right.
So, they had Kyle by himself for a while. And he wound up, lying about what happened at first, but then the person that was interviewing him was like, all right, you need to drop the shit, tell me what happened, because I already know you're lying. Because remember, they had previously all sat in the same room and had a conversation about what the fuck they did. Oh,
you know, the investigators were probably in there watching cameras even before they went in there. And then they saw the story and then they're like, hey, come here. Come look at these dumb fucks.
Well, there was like Amber and Charlie were sitting on the couch. And then Kyle was sitting in a chair across from them. And Amber's like, I can't believe he's dead. And then Charlie was like, yeah, because of us.
Oh, my God.
Like, hello. If that wasn't them pleading guilty right there, I don't know what the fuck was.
And, you know, the detectives were in there fucking laughing. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yes. So anyways, like I said, Kyle, Charlie and Amber all sat there and played stupid and they didn't know that. Well, they said that they didn't. They said to the person interviewing that they didn't know that that Michael wanted Seth dead. However, the detectives soon got their story. The fact that all they did was just sit there and talk about what the fuck happened.
Right.
Like, yeah. Anyways. Kyle, being a dumbass, again, not realizing he was being recorded, said out loud, straight up, that Seth deserved to die.
I was just thinking before you said all that, it was like, maybe she was aware of, you know, cameras and whatnot, and she was trying to play it up, and nobody else fucking caught on.
Oh, no, because she incriminated herself, too.
Right, no, but I mean, when you're her making the comment, I can't believe Seth's dead, and like,
yeah.
And then, like, the rest of them didn't catch on is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the case. Michael tried to make a run for it by asking James Havens to drive him out to Stark, Florida. His hideaway there was his hoe in a different zip code and her family, and he was totally welcome there. Once he got there, he proudly told four of her family members what the fuck he did. Every single detail.
Oh my God.
Every detail of what he did. Like, how he had to break Seth's knees so that he would fit properly in this fucking sleeping bag. Literally everything.
You know, I'm not telling people, you know, this is what you need to do if you're going to commit a crime. Like, first of all, don't commit a crime because you've listened to us. But if you do, make sure we have the rights to the story first. And second, don't go fucking telling everyone and their mother what you did.
But he was proud of what he did.
And be proud of it.
Yeah.
Fucking morons.
Yeah. Anyways, Michael wasn't a free man long after that. He was arrested the very next day. Being a dumbass, just like all of his friends and his girlfriend, this idiot told two more people in jail exactly what he did. What they all did, actually.
Can I get that street cred?
I guess.
And then flip around like, hey, can I get my sentence reduced because I got information? Depending on
the state, probably. Yeah, I don't know. The investigators got a search warrant and went to little Charlie's house. There, they found the murder weapon, ammunition, and charred human remains in the fire pit. They also searched the quarry. There they found one of the 5-gallon buckets, as well as a plastic bag that was just floating in the water. The diving team went in and found two other buckets, both of which had cinder blocks in them to weigh them down. And they had everything they needed at that point. Even though this group had some juveniles in it, each of them were tried as adults for Seth's murder. You got something to say, I feel it.
Oh my God, they're the dumbest criminals ever. There's so many mistakes that they fucking made at this point that I'm like,
yeah.
You left remains. You didn't put holes in the fucking bucket. And this is not my guide to murder here, so I can't be, you know, going to, you know, dad watch, if you know that joke.
Dad watch?
Dad always disappearing, but anyway.
Oh, went out for milk and cigarettes?
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, it's like, they're not putting holes in the bucket. They're not putting holes in the fucking, well, not me. They probably tied the bag too fucking tight, so there's a bunch of fucking air trapped in it. But, you know, this isn't the David's guide to how to cover up a murder here. It's just I'm going to stop there before I could possibly incriminate myself.
Do you mean incriminate?
Incriminate. Oh, my God.
Yep. Anyways, so the evidence that they gathered from the bag inside the bucket, the cinder blocks, the buckets themselves, came back. The blood samples taken from inside Charlie from inside Charlie's house came back, belonging to Seth, as well as the three others in the group. So Seth definitely didn't go down without fighting.
Right.
Which, good on him.
Yep.
The forensics team, as well as DNA analysis, confirmed that the bone and tissue remnants from the fire pit matched, and they came from the same person. So, this is going to sound real fucked up. It was only one person that they burned, and they didn't do this shit to somebody else, too.
Right. But, you know, just have to be sure.
After DNA testing from Charlie's house was tested against Seth's family, it was confirmed what Seth's family feared the most, that it was his body.
Right.
In June 2012, all five of the defendants were tried as adults, each of them sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Seth Jackson. James Havens also got caught for his part in it all, and he was not tried for murder, but later pled guilty to being an accessory.
Right.
And that was in 2018. Charlie was released in 2020 after she pleaded for a lesser charge. Let me tell you about this bitch. One of the videos shows the three of them in there talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just her talking to an investigator.
Right.
The only thing that she got upset by was the fact that she was, like, newly married, I guess, at the age of 18, living in a trailer.
Right.
And she's like, he will not wait for me. Bitch, who would? You fucking help murder somebody.
Right.
Anyways, Michael was sentenced to death for being the mastermind behind Seth's death. He became Florida's youngest inmate on death row. He did appeal in 2021. But the Supreme Court basically said, fuck you and everything you've done. You're staying with the death sentence. Right. So they turned him down for that. Now, a little tiddly bit that I didn't include in here. Kyle and Amber were brother and sister.
Okay.
Can you imagine being their mom and coming down to the police station to have to sit there because not one of your kids helped commit murder? Fucking two of them did.
I can only imagine the conversation at that point. There's, I'm sure, like, the public safety officer at the front desk, like, just accept that, you know, mom's fucking berating him there, possibly in the lobby or whatever, and he's just, like, shaking his fucking head.
I couldn't imagine being a mom and getting that call in the first place, like, hey, right. Your son's in jail or your daughter's in jail, and we need you to come down because they're minors, and then you find out when you get there why you're there, not for one child. But for both.
Right.
Take them, get them away.
Right. And I'm sure she wanted to whoop the shit out of them for it, but, you know, being a police station, but it'll probably also be along those lines where you, like, see the courtroom videos where, like, mm-hmm. parents jump the bench or whatever. Well, that's, you know, jump the table, not the bench.
Yeah.
The bench, judge sits at the bench, but jumps the table and starts swinging on the, you know, the defendant, I guess. But, you know, they put them in handcuffs, take them away, but they generally always drop the fucking charges afterwards because they know it was, you know, a high, you know, tension and emotions are high. So it's just like they put them in cuffs, get them out of there. And then they just, like, they book them. They book them, but they don't ever actually charge them because they know it's, like, an emotionally charged event at that time.
Yeah.
But I can only still see that. See, you know, like I was saying about the public safety officers, usually the front desk, probably like, she's got enough hits in, I better go do something.
Yeah. But seriously, if you guys get bored, like, just get on YouTube, get on TikTok, and type in Seth Jackson. And you'll see videos of these idiots talking to each other in this interrogation room. And it's fucking bananas stupid one can be. Oh, not one, but four.
I'm sure.
Stupid. No, five.
Right.
So it's Michael, Justin, Kyle, Amber, Charlie. Five of them.
So that's probably the dumbest group of criminals we've had on here so far.
Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
Well, I mean, they're all stupid for committing crimes in general, but
there's varying degrees of stupidity.
Right, but you know what I mean by saying the dumbest criminals we've had.
Yeah. They're definitely, I don't even want to give them, like, credit and be like, it's just immature brain. If they were a little older, they could have done it better.
No.
Because, no, these are just, they would have been that stupid regardless.
Right. Like, when you go as far as actually, like, you get emotional and you're going to say, I'm going to fucking kill you. Then you calm down and don't actually do it. But actually to go through with it, no. you know what you're fucking doing, regardless of age.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, that big case that happened around here with those kids that committed that home invasion. Then they all.
You should do that sometime.
Maybe.
Look into that, because that's, that definitely is not the outcome I would have assumed it was going
to
be.
Oh, there was a lot of pushback once. Oh, I'm sure. A lot of things with that.
I'm sure. So, episode 69.
Nice.
We're going to be talking about Jesus and how masturbation is the devil's work at play.
Also, we're going to do teasers for next week. We better commit to those episodes if we do that.
Oh, I was just saying we're going to talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a come to Jesus. Yeah. C-O-M-E, not the other way.
Of course, but, you know, if anybody that comes, you know, it's known us personally for years or, you know.
they know better.
Here's the stupid shit that comes out of my mouth on fucking Twitch. They know better.
I know. We'll see what we do. Next week is a dual week.
So, yeah, if you haven't come join us in the Facebook group, you should. That's where all the fun, stupid shit I post is all the stuff that I don't say on Twitch.
Yeah. Whatever. Also, I made an Instagram that has episode 1 and 2
That's it?
Posted so far because I'm slow.
How's that TikTok going, too, while we're at it?
Oh, the TikTok. It's going.
Other than the ridiculous jump on the Omima Nelson video out of nowhere, that which is fucking weird.
I don't know. I will get it updated.
Eventually.
I will get it updated.
In 10 to 20 years.
Oh, way before then. At least within the year.
Okay.
No, it'll be updated.
All right.
You can find us on all the things.
Why are we doing this when we have a pre-recorded track for this?
Because we're going to add it to it for double. So, I had a word to go with that.
So anyway, I'm starting to think it's time we close the Emporium up here for the day since we're just rambling on with some nonsense.
I agree.
So until next time.
Remember to creep it real, but not stupid.
And make sure to come back next week with all your fingers.
All your friends, if you don't, at least bring pictures. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Please go and check out our website at macabreemporiumpodcast.com. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.